We're working primarily in Daf Yud-Tes. Let's start on Daf Yud-Tes, Amud Aleph, at the Mishnah. Motza Gitei Noshim, v'shechurei avadim, is someone found a bill of divorce to a woman, or shechurei avadim is a bill of emancipation for a slave, a will, or a document of a gift, or a receipt. Actually, all of these except for a tanum are spoken in the plural. If one finds multiples of these or individuals, doesn't matter. The rule is that the one who finds them should not return this lost object. Because I say, Suvin Hayu, person who wrote out these documents, did so. And then he changed his mind. He decided, never mind, I don't want to divorce my wife, I don't want to free my slave, I don't want to give this will. So when it was found, the concern is, perhaps the giver never actually gave it. So therefore, the finder should not return it. Let's see the Gemara. Taimo dinimlach shlalitma. The Mishnah says the reason for not returning to the beneficiary of each of these documents is because we're concerned that the one who is giving changed his mind. He never actually gave it. But the diuk of the Mishnah is, the inference is, that had he actually said, give it over, and speak to the master, did you free your slave? If he says, yeah, give it to him, it says, then the implication is you should give it over. And there's no distinction made in the Mishnah of the time frame. It would appear that even if a lot of time has passed from the giving of the get, or the shtar, to the finding of it, it doesn't make a difference. From the amount of time that it was lost seems to be an irrelevant factor. And we have a kasha on that. Is that really the case? I may be get the Aved Emin. If somebody found a bill of divorce and it was lost from him, Matzola Alta Kasha. If he found it right away, this bill of divorce is still kasha, meaning he can still use it to effect a divorce. Imlav, possible. But if he didn't find it right away, then this bill of divorce is invalidated. So you see, it does make a difference. Let's see Rashi. Ha'amatnu asha. If the one who's giving over in each of these documents says, give it over, now, nosnu, then the implication is give it. Even if it was found after much time, mission off from when it was actually lost. And we are not concerned. Maybe it's another get, another bill of divorce. Perhaps one wants to consider far-fetched cases. Maybe you have another bill of divorce that has similar names, and it's a separate person. The identity of the parties in this bill of divorce are different people with the same names, perhaps. We're not worried about that if he found it right away. But after time, it fell after a long time before it was found, then we are concerned. And so the altar, what does it mean right away? Also in Gitz and Dachazai, the description of how much time is considered, the amount of time at which we entertain this unusual possibility that it fell from somebody else, is the amount of time that a caravan could have passed by, so it depends on traffic level. Shavrasham ben Mafal, maybe a caravan passed by the same place and the bill of divorce fell. A new bill of divorce, separate bill of divorce. Shere lo sha shir shetecha. If you didn't have enough time that would have transpired, that another caravan could have set up camp here, continue on their way, with a bill of divorce falling, with similar names but different actual people. So that's the consideration. That's what's called la'alta right away versus acharzman. Is there enough traffic that we can entertain this unusual possibility? So that is Rabba's mahalach. Amar Rabba, lo kasha, kan mokum she'en sharis metzuyos, kan mokum she'en sharis metzuyos. Okay, let's continue on to Yud Ches Amud Beis. So we have this question being raised, just keep that in mind, from the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, if somebody finds all of these documents any one of them, he should not return it because we're concerned. Maybe the giver had a change of heart before giving it, never gave it. So the implication, Gemara says, is if the giver declares, no, go ahead, give it over, so you should do so. And we had a kasha from Gittin that we are concerned. Maybe it's a different one. And it depends on time frame. In our Mishnah, we have no mention of time frame. Even after Zman Merubo. So let's take a look towards the bottom of Yudches Tumah Beis. Rabbi Yirmiyah Omar, Rabbi Yirmiyah says, Ela al get echad shal Yosef ben Shimon. Rabbi Yirmiyah says, how do we understand? Rashi explains, Rabbi Yirmiyah Omar, ha diktani, that which is taught in the Mishnah, Yachzir, by the Diuk, if he says Tnu, Kigon, when is that true? Damri Eidim, Achasuminbo, ask the witnesses signing on this document, what do they say? Me'olam lo chasamnu. They say, we never signed on another document to this effect. El al get echad, just on one document, Shel Yosef ben Shimon, so one bill of divorce, and the husband who's getting divorced, his name is Yosef ben Shimon. We never signed on another document of Yosef ben Shimon. It must be this fellow. So then if he says Tnu, so give it. The Gemara asks a question. Ihochi ma'ala memra. If so, if it's so solidly proven, so what's the chiddush? What is the Mishnah trying to teach you? Ma'ode teimo lechu shdimo isrami shmo kishmo. Maybe you'll think of an even more far-fetched case. Not just another Yosef ben Shimon, as the husband giving the bill of divorce, but maybe you'll also have the Eidim Ke'edim. You'll also have witnesses, two witnesses, with the same names on both documents that are different witnesses. A very far-fetched case. So three people whose names appear in the document that are all parallel but different. Maybe you would have thought that. Interesting, Havamina. Kamash Malan, and therefore it's telling you, don't be concerned at such a thing. Once we have the validation that the witnesses say, yeah, Yosef ben Shimon is a common name, apparently, very popular. But whatever the names of the witnesses are, that's not as common to have them both match up with Yosef ben Shimon. They say, we only signed on one bill of divorce ever in our lifetimes, Yosef ben Shimon, so we know it's got to be this one. Therefore, return it when he says it's new. He says, give it over, give it over.
I'm just going to ask one question. Please. When you say, he says, give it over.
The husband.
Okay, but are we talking about, is Yosef ben Shimon?
Yeah, okay. Yosef ben Shimon.
So he refers to, in this case. Okay.
Exactly.
Okay.
He says, give it over, and the witnesses, whatever their names are, say, yeah, you don't have to worry about it being different witnesses. I mean, well, the Gemara says you don't have to worry about that, but the witnesses are saying, you don't have to worry that it's another Yosef ben Shimon, because both of us only signed in our entire lives on one bill of divorce for someone named Yosef ben Shimon. Ravashi Omar. Ravashi says another Mahala. Kegon de ka'amai. Nekev yeshbo b'tzados plonis. That there is a semen. You have a clear identifying marker. So he says, there, this document, don't be worried that there's another Yosef ben Shimon that it fell from, and it's not this guy. And the husband says, give it over. He says, and I have an identifying marker on this bill of divorce. There's a little hole by the side of this particular letter. The dafko b'tzados plonis. And specifically when he says that there's the hole next to this specific letter. Of nekav almalo. He says, yeah, I remember there was a hole in this bill of divorce. The parchment wasn't quite perfect. Where's the hole? I don't remember. It's not enough. He says, right by the yud of Yossi, there was a little tiny hole. Okay, that's quite an identifying marker. And you don't have to worry that there's another bill of divorce. That's quite a parallel universe you got going. If you're worried about that, that there's another guy divorcing his wife with the same name. Witnesses, same names. Well, that's the previous teretz. But even just the same name of this husband who's giving a bill of divorce with the parchment having a hole in that exact location that he's identified. Clearly, he's the guy. He knows something unique about this document. So then when he says, give it, give it. That is Rabashi's teretz. So it has to be a very clear identification. If there's any hole, that's not enough. So let's see Rashi. Medavka b'tzadus plonis. Havelei simen muvak. That is considered, when he says there's a hole by a certain letter, that is called a simen muvak. It's an identification that is clear, unassailable. Vafilu imtim saloma. Gabi chazar saveda simonim. Boilang lakamon. Doraisa odirabonon. Afilu. Even if you would come to the resolution, the Gemara discusses by what type of identifying markers are necessary by returning a lost object. Even if you would come to a resolution, simonim derabanan, that the threshold of an identifying marker is a rabbinic requirement, it's a lower threshold of certainty necessary. This is certainly a simon muvak, and you could use that. It's a very clear, unassailable proof that he knows this is the document that he wrote on or had as commissioned, whatever it might be. He can identify it. So that is good enough to permit the woman to be considered divorced if it's given to her, and to remarry. That's a biblical consequence in the highest order. But Simon Movak certainly has that capacity. Rav Ashi has a suffix. Rav Ashi, back in the Gemara, Masafkale Simonim. He himself was not sure. When it comes to Aveda, to returning of a lost object, as Rashi says, when the finder tries to interview the person who's claiming they lost an object, he says, well, what? How do I know that it's yours? So he's going to say, well, as this identifying marker, that identifying marker, what is the status of the simonim? So Rav Ashi says, I don't know if it's Doraisa or Darabona. Maybe, says Rav Ashi, even a low-level proof, not the best proof, not a simon muvak, but still, hey, he's correct. There is a hole on this document. He didn't remember exactly where it was. Something like that. He's not sure if that is adequate for a deraiso purpose. Either of them, if it's rabbinic. V'dafka baveda. Maybe the low-level simon is only adequate for an aveda, for returning a lost object, and you can't use it anywhere else, like over here, by returning the bill of divorce. Shehefka bezen hefka, which is an interesting idea. The fact that the courts have jurisdiction over the money of their constituents, so they can say, in the broader interest of society, most likely, this is the guy who's claiming, yeah, that's mine, I have a hole on this document. Where's the hole? I don't remember, but I remember it had a hole in it. So that low-level simon, moderately valuable identification, but not unassailable. Even if you say that that's adequate for an aveda, that could be predicated on hefker bezen hefker, the power of the court, the jurisdiction of the court, to say even if it's wrong, it's right, because the court can generate a status of hefker. They have the jurisdiction to declare ownerless the individual's property from their constituents. Very powerful court. Lo samchina. That's not going to help when it comes to matter of iser. When it comes to something like this case, is this woman permitted to remarry? So we're not going to invoke hefker bezen hefker in such circumstance. Therefore, you certainly need the simon muva, the unassailable proof. It could be that we just don't have a resolution and will be stringent in case of doubt. Rav Ashi has an outstanding question. Rav Ashi is not sure. Do you require the simon doraisa or derbanan? And this ruling that he issued, that you need a simon muvak, is seemingly a stringency within the framework of this question. Let's see Tosos, the top of your testament aleph. E simon doraisa. Beget nami. Madrina, by a bill of divorce, you would also return it. Vi simone darabonon, and if you say that the giving of a sign, an indication of ownership, is rabbinic, mash mechzir naveda b'sim shen muvak, that which we do return a lost object with an indication of ownership, but not an unassailable indication, that's rabbinic. Mishum davka bezin hefker. That is because the courts have the jurisdiction. They can say, the real owner, we're declaring it no longer his, it's hefker, because we are directing the finder to restore this object to the one who presents a quasi-valuable indication that it's his. Not perfect. It's far from only the owner could have known. Maybe he guessed. Not a perfect sign. But still, Rabbanan have the jurisdiction to do such a thing. Because of Hefker Bezin Hefker. But perhaps on a biblical level, there's a need for either witnesses that will come and testify, yes, this fellow lost this object. We were there, we were searching with him, and it wasn't me. And we can attest. Okay, of course, give it back. Or an unassailable proof that must be coming from the owner. And by bill of divorce as well, the issu, we're talking about something that has consequences. For Isser, to be mater eshes ish, like Rashi said, lo madrina el b'simon mavak. By eshes ish, even though we do invoke hefker b'simon hefker in the right context, that's not valuable, and we're not entertaining that over here.
I'm sorry, can I ask you?
Please.
Hefker based in hefker.
The jurisdiction, the court has the authorization, the ability to declare ownerless the objects that belong to their constituents. They can say they're judging, and they have that capacity to declare ownerless what was previously owned by their constituency.
That's what that term means. Hefker,
yes. But, okay. Yes, it's similar to the ability to commandeer something.
Right.
So the jurisdiction of the court to do that gives them the latitude to make an enactment where they are being. They're loosening the requirement, potentially, to return a lost object, that you don't need such a high threshold of proof. On a biblical level, you could need only the highest level of proof, either witnesses or Simon Muvak, his fingerprint is on it.
Right.
And, it matches up. Obviously, he says, my fingerprint's around it. Let's do a test. You'll see it's mine.
Right.
Okay. So then if you can find some proof that's unassailable, okay, then return it. But if not, and then the finder will just have to hold on to it. In many more cases, do you say that the rabbis lower the threshold because they have this authorization to declare ownerless that which is owned from their constituents? And therefore, if they have that capacity, they could say, for the broader good, having a lower threshold will get most of the people their lost objects, as opposed to most people not getting their lost object. Even there, there's a bit of a cost on that. Sometimes it'll be returned in a way that's not accurate, but overall it's better. That's the consideration of simonim derabanan, but by the returning of a get, so the requirement, the threshold to be able to return it is certainly a simon muvak. A high level, unassailable proof that this fellow who's saying that he lost it is definitely the one. Okay, so Rav Ashi has this shaila. Rabbo Bar Bar Chano, Ashi says, Shahay Shliach Lahavi, Yechasli, Vishkachu. So he had a get, he was the messenger to deliver the get, to bring it, and got lost and was found, a midrasha in the house of study. Is Simone, is the Bigave. Itviseno, is the Bigave. He said, I lost this get. Please return it to me. If you want a simon, an indication that I can prove it's the get, I've got a simon. I'll be able to identify some unique markings on this get to prove that I was the one who lost it. And if you want, I can tell you that I recognize what the get looks like, so you can show it to me. And I'll be able to tell you, oh, that's not the one I lost. Or, no, that is, I recognize it. I drew on Eli. So in the base medrash, they did find it, and they returned it to him. He said, I'm not sure. Why did they return it to me? Is it because of the simon? And they hold simon d'araisa, one of the studded in the Chakira that we saw in Ravashi. Or perhaps they returned it to me because up and coming Tzuvah Merabana have a high level of Naamonas, trustworthiness, so he's an aspiring scholar. Maybe that was why, when he said, I recognize it, that was adequate for them to return it to him. Aval Inish Damalo. But a regular person, that would not be enough. Not sure. So Rabbi Barbachano is similarly questioning what was needed in order to turn this object to him. Rashi, Ama is Simon Hashiva Luchu. If that's what you need, it's substantial, so I have it, an indication that it's mine, that I lost it. And if you want me to verify that I recognize it, Hashiva Luchu, that's what you want, that's substantial for you, is the Bigabe I have within it. Makiran, I recognize this. I can identify if it's my handwriting, Hasofer Edim, or the handwriting of the scribe and the witnesses. Is the exact dimensions. So even though he wouldn't be able to identify, it is exactly this many inches by that many inches, or prove to you the exact shaping of certain letters. That is the way the writing style of the Sofer or the Edim were. He can't articulate it, but he can recognize it. Like the Tefillah Zayin of a friend. The Tovo by Imbo Simen. He recognizes his friend. He says, I know this is my friend. I can't give you a clear proof through a sign of certain features he has that that's how I know it's my friend. But I see the guy. I know it's my friend. So is that enough? Tefillah Zayin by Tzuvah Merabana. Wasn't sure. The Dafko, Tzuvah Merabana. The Muchsuk Lembe, Lo Mishani Dibure. He has the presumption to not lie. So everybody can recognize things, but he has a higher threshold because we're relying on his declaration that he recognizes it. Tosfos says, I'll inish the alma lo, but by regular guy, we will not rely on his looking at the object and saying, oh yeah, I do recognize it, that's mine. The first one of time, Damarts Nami Isle to Yaseno. Rabbi Natan says, don't think only Talmud Chacham has the ability to recognize something without being able to articulate in advance specific proofs that this is what he recognizes. But just recognize it. And as you know, that applies to Nama Arts as well. The actual Tefillah Zayin. Compare it to Parshat. Gemara says in Baba Basra, Kuf Samech Chesem Aleph, Eman Debar L'Kedusha Itaso. Person wants to marry a wife. You should bring with him Nama Aretz. So he has Tefillah Zayin. He can tell if this is by looking at this lady. He can have indications about her well-being. He can see her beauty. He can discern just by Tefillah Zayin without being able to prove and say, this has the perfect proportions that are such by such, and therefore this is an indication of good health or beauty. That's not he's not going to be able to articulate it, but he could just see. Amaretz could see. So Rabbeinu Tam says, you see, he has to be a Zion, but he just doesn't have Nemos. We need to rely on his declaration that he has to be a Zion. We're not going to rely on that when it comes to returning the lost object. By Tzuvah Merabanan, we will. And that was actually the Shaila of Rabbi Barbachano. What was the element that did it? that was adequate for the people who found it in the Beis Medrash to return it to him. He didn't know. Gufa. So, revisiting something that was mentioned earlier, higher up on your Chesem Beis than what we started. Mavsa get Isha Beshuk. Somebody finds a bill of divorce in the marketplace. Bizman Shabal Mode Yachsit Leisha. At a time when the husband admits that he has given his wife this bill of divorce, return it to the woman. Eina Bal Mode Lo Yachsit Lelozeh Velelozeh. The husband contests and says, I didn't give my wife a get. Do not return this bill of divorce, neither to the husband, nor to the wife, or divorcee. We don't know what happened, but don't return it to either party. When the husband admits, yes, I gave my wife a bill of divorce, then do return it to the woman. Why are we saying to return it? Why are we not afraid? Maybe the document was written, this bill of divorce, to be given in Nisan, and he didn't actually give it to her until Tishrei. And then the husband went and sold fruits that he accrued from the dowry, from Nisan until Tishrei, this whole six-month period, from when he wrote the get to when he gave it to her, he's busy selling the fruits that accrued from the dowry, the Kosovo Nisan. And then, now, if you return this bill of divorce to the woman, because the husband said, I gave it to her, she's going to whip that out and say, look at the date. It was written in Nisan. And then, she's going to repossess these parts of the dowry that the husband sold in that six-month interim between writing the get and giving it to her. And she's going to say, looky here. It says that he's divorcing me in Nisan. He sold you those fruits close to Tishrei, 6 months later, and she's going to win in court. But it wasn't given until Tishrei. So it's not really fair. Because of this possibility, why are we saying, when he says, yes, I gave her the bill of divorce, why do we return it to her? Why are we not concerned with this possibility of abuse? See, Rashi, Elo Nosan at Tishrei. The husband did not give this bill of divorce until Tishrei. In the entire interim, the husband has the ability to eat or to sell the fruits of this dowry. This was part of the enactment, which she received as an inheritance. He has rights as the husband. And he sold fruits according to the law. He had the right to do so. But now, because the document is backdated, he didn't give her a new get. It was just sitting in his file. Comes Tishrei, Yom Adin, that's it. He's done. Gives her the get. In the meantime, she's going to run and take this, potentially, and oust the rightful owners who bought these fruits from her ex-husband and say they belong to her. Look at the get. It's written 6 months ago in Nisan. Continuing the Gemara. Hanichal man d'omar. There's no opportunity for abuse. And it goes, well, according to the opinion, that as soon as the husband has given his eyes to divorce her, meaning he has intentions to divorce her, he has not divorced her, though. But from that point on, the husband does not have the right to consume or sell the fruits of her dowry, of what she inherited. This is no longer his right. That goes well. So then she can actually collect correctly, even though she didn't receive the get until Tishrei. But obviously, it was Nasan Ein HaVegarsha if you wrote it in Nisan from then. So that's okay. No problems on that opinion. But according to the opinion, that the husband has the right to consume the fruits, even though he's obviously contemplated giving her a bill of divorce and divorcing her, until he gives it to her, the other opinion says he can continue collecting those fruits, selling those fruits. What is there to say? We have this concern. Why is it not a risk that she could abuse this get because of the backdating to collect fruits that are not hers. He asked Lemitrav Amrinallah. According to that opinion, we say that when she comes to collect, we will tell her, I see Raya, Amos, Mata, Gita, the other. Bring a proof when this bill of divorce actually came to your hand. Rashi says, Miad by from the hand of your husband. We don't know when it came. We're not going to just automatically collect, repossess these fruits from the buyer and take them, give it back to this woman who's divorced. So that we say, yes, you are divorced, but prove when the bill of divorce came to your hand. And how is this different from a document of indebtedness, a loan document, something like that? Did not, as was taught in the Mishnah, not like this case. Somebody finds a shtar chov, which has got a loan document that he found. If the loan document is secured by assets, so it's a secure loan, lo yase, do not return this loan document. Vilkimna, and we establish the case as talking about when the one who is liable, the borrower, admits that it's a valid document. Still, we say, don't return it. Shema, because we're concerned, maybe the document was drawn up in Nisan, so there was talk about giving a loan in Nisan, and the document was drawn up, but the loan did not actually take place until Tishrei. So now, you have a loan document that's backdated. And now, there'll be the ability, as a secured loan, if there's a default, to collect from purchasers of the property, from the borrower, in a manner that is not fair. It's not the halacha. It's stealing. So hasam nami lahader chi asli mitrav neimale aisi raya imas mata shtar chov yalech. Why don't we say the same thing? The same way we just said by the returning of the bill of divorce, that the court says return it. The person who found it should be instructed to return it to her. But if she wants to collect money with it, so now we'll say, prove when it came to your hand. Why don't we say the same thing? By this document that we're concerned could have had the same parallel sequence of events. It could be theoretically abused. Why don't we say, give it back? But if it comes into the court with such a claim, we'll say, prove when it came into your hands. Amri hacha gabiget isha asi. We say here concerning bill of divorce that the woman is coming. Lokeach. Amri hacha gabiget isha asi lokeach. The tov I, the bill of divorce, we say that the purchaser, meaning the one who bought from the husband in these intervening 6 months between when it was the document was drawn up and when it was given, the purchaser will come. Vitava. Amar, we have the claim. Amar, hi, dadruanele, rabbanu legita, mishum de lo te'agin. The reason why the rabbis gave her the get back is in order that she should not be chained, restrained from getting remarried. She should be able to get remarried. That's why they gave it back. And she should be sitting, unable to get married if she doesn't have a bill of divorce. So they said, give it back to her. The adam. But now that she wants to collect money with it, and there's a possibility of abuse, they'll say to her, prove exactly when it happened. They want her to have the ability to get remarried. Her husband says he divorced her, so give her the bill of divorce that she should be able to get remarried. But to be able to collect money with it, there's a risk, so she has to bring a proof when she actually received it. In contrast, here, when what was lost was not a bill of divorce, what was lost was a document, a loan document. Lo asilokeach v'tava. The purchaser of the property from the borrower is not going to come with a claim, with this consideration. He's not going to have a taina. Oma. Medadrua nele rabbana l'shtarchov. Pshita l'mayelchosa adrua nele. There's no other consideration why this document was restored. Obviously, this is a document of a loan. The whole purpose of possession of the document is for collection, limitrifu. So obviously, Rabbanim Mimase. It must be that the sage is established in this matter. And before my entrance into the story, this document came to his hand. Meaning, the whole purpose of this document, this shtar chov, is for the purpose of the secure debt of collection. And if the rabbis gave it back, there's no other reason to give it back other than to collect. So they must have ascertained the correct dating, and he's not going to have a claim that there's any other reason to be demanding proof of when it came to his hand. So therefore, we don't say to the one who found this document, of the loan document, give it back, because there's this potential of abuse. If we don't know, we can't say give it back. The whole purpose of holding the possession of this document is for collection. Let's see Rashi. Amos mata shtar liyadcham miyad halobe mitchila. When did you receive from the borrower initially this document, the loan document? You have a secured loan. Also lekeach betava, the purchaser comes with a claim. Yes, limitrov, if it's coming to collect, it'll enter his mind to make this claim. Bring a proof by the woman who's holding this get. He's going to say an argument. Bring a proof when you received this bill of divorce. Mikmedidi, in contrast, by the document of the loan, so he's going to not be making such a claim. It was preceding his own possession. Ali halo v'nechasim. Prior to when the borrower sold me his property, this document of debt was transferred from the borrower to the lender, Rishona, initially. So he's not going to say this claim. He says that the whole purpose of possession is for collection. So because of that, he's not going to say a demand, prove when you received it.
So in the case of the loan document, did you say that was a secured loan, right?
Correct.
So that the borrower gave up something as collateral, or is that true? Or
it's a property. So this property could be collected should the borrower default.
Got it. Okay.
And then in the interim, he sold it. But if there's a pre-existing loan, then the lender can collect it from the buyer. Says, yes, you bought this property, but it was a secured loan. My debt needs to be satisfied before you can keep this property, since there was a default.
Or an abuse could be that the borrower who had tied up his property to get the loan could have tried to sell the property to someone else or something. That'd be abuse? Because he didn't have the right to sell the property since it was...
So the way it works is that he does have a right to sell it, and because it's public, it's a public document, both the loan document and the bill of sale. So the publicity of these documents make it that the buyer knows it is buying a property that is security for a loan. So he's taking that risk. And obviously, the borrower is responsible, but it doesn't mean the buyer is necessarily going to be able to keep the field or the property that he's purchasing. It could be that it'll be collected from him to satisfy the debt if the borrower defaults. And then he'll have to go back to the borrower and say, hey, you know, I bought this field. Maybe it's at a discount. It's a little risky. You have to pay me back. And they'll have to work it out afterwards. But because the document of the loan is public, creates kind of like a cloud on title that, hey, he's buying a property that is at risk of collection if the borrower defaults.
So in other words, just like now we have, you know, everything is recorded.
Right.
People have ways of knowing what's on the document. Sounds like they did then as
exactly.
Well.
Exactly.
Okay.
Hold on. The frame, the documents of emancipation for slaves, etc. So the a will, a document of gift. Tan Rabban. My sages taught. Mavza shtar shechur bashuk. If somebody finds a document of emancipation for a slave in the marketplace. At the time when the master admits and concedes that this is a legitimate doctrine, then the one who found it should return this bill of emancipation to the slave. If he contests, the master says, no, I never gave the bill of a document of emancipation to free my slave, then the finder should not return this bill of emancipation, neither to the master nor the slave. Clearly, from what we just said, if there's no concern of a debate whether this document was actually given, the master concedes, yes, I freed my slave, I gave it to him. So you do return it to the slave. Vemai, and why do we say that? Why are we not worried about a similar consideration? Maybe he drew up this document to free a slave in Nisan, right? The month of Geula, Pesach, freedom. He says, I'll free my slave. But he didn't actually get around to doing it until Tishrei. So when the master admits, yes, I did free my slave, it's a legitimate document. It's a predated document, though. It was given 6 months later. And then the slave went and purchased assets. In the entire intervening 6 months, he's busy making acquisitions. The slave is a real estate tycoon on behalf of his master. And then the master went and sold them. So what's going to happen? The slave is going to whip out this bill of emancipation that was written in Nisan. So it says that he was freed in Nisan. And then he's going to go and collect from the purchasers of these properties that were sold by the master, shalokadin, in a manner that is unfair. He's going to say, I'm very sorry that you purchased this property from that shyster of a guy, my master, because look at this document. He freed me in Nisan. He sold it to you after it wasn't his. So he had no right to sell it. You bought the Brooklyn Bridge. He had no right to sell it, so give it back to him. And that's not really true, because the bill of emancipation was only given in Tishrei 6 months later. But it's the intervening time where the document is not reflecting reality. It could be abused. You have a parallel consideration. Why are we not worried about that? Even though the master says, yeah, give it to him. I did give him a bill of divorce. I mean, a bill of emancipation. Why are we not worried about this potential for abuse? Already acquire for him to his benefit. The slave is now going to acquire his freedom. As soon as the slave sign, as soon as the witness is signed, the slave will acquire his own ownership of himself. So it was written in Nisan, signed in Nisan. Who cares that it wasn't delivered? As soon as they sign, since it's considered to the benefit of the slave, that's it. Their signature acquires it for the slave, and he was free from Nisan. So now when he says, look at this document that says Nisan, when the master sold these things, he was lying. The slave will be telling the truth, because he actually acquired his freedom prior to the master selling properties that were never his. If the slave was still enslaved, when the slave bought it, he was acting on behalf of the master, and the master has the right to sell those properties. But if the slave was already freed, so he's not acting on behalf of the master selling those properties would in fact be a violation. So according to that opinion, as soon as the witness is signed, the slave acquires his freedom, there is no room for abuse. That's Matalas. According to the opinion, in contrast, that it is considered to his detriment for the slave to be freed from his master, Maniklamimar, what are you going to say? If it's to his detriment, so then the signature of the witnesses does not render the slave freed. And he only got freed 6 months later, in Tishrei, what are you going to say? There is this room for abuse. If he does come to repossess these properties that were sold by the master in between Nisan and Tishrei, we will say to him, the court will say to him, bring a proof. When did this bill of emancipation actually come to your hands? Bring a proof. Yes, you're freed. When, though, you have to bring a proof? Let's see Rashi. It's a debate. The first chapter of Gittin, Dafid Beis Mabez, Schus Huloeved. it is considered to the benefit of the slave. Tovahi etzlam. It is good for him. Tiro bakal, because now when the slave is freed, he is permitted to marry within the Jewish community. Kindeschusu, since it's to his benefit, ikalatrutsi the misha shenechta, get shichur liyade, rea mishas chasimo. Once it does reach his hand, we say that it works retroactively from the signature. That's all if you say it's to his benefit. Yes, he has to receive it, but it works retroactively from the time of the signature. But if you say chovu le'eved, it's to the detriment of the slave, it's considered taking away from the slave that he should leave his master. Kiloma. Hefsedulo. It's to his detriment. Eved. A priest. Poslum in a truma. Now he's not going to be able to eat truma anymore. No more special tithes to go to Kohanim and their property. He can't eat that anymore. He's losing out. And if he's not the slave of a Kohen, but rather of a Yisrael, he still is losing out. Now he can no longer stay married to Shivcha Kananis. The Zilele, the Shrichole, Upritzele. There's certain advantages in these relationships that he finds with, the slave finds with the Shivcha Kananis, that it could be, from his perspective, he'd rather maintain that situation. In order to do so, he must remain an Eved. So, that's what he wants. It's to his detriment to free him. If that's a possibility, it's not automatically presumed to his benefit, and it will not work retroactively as soon as he gets in his hand, but rather only from when he gets in his hand. Ma'ik lemiyama, what are you going to say? In that case, there is room for abuse. Eidem b'chassam of different yourselves, chavin or zochen lo, de'ein chavin adam shelo b'fano. What are you going to say? Now, we don't say it's to his benefit, because we can only, when there's a presumption of benefit, say that it works automatically, retroactively, but the person needs to be present to have something affect him to his detriment. So it can only be not this, at the signature of the witnesses, but at the giving of this document of emancipation to the slave. And it will not work before that. Continuing the Gemara, the Tiki Matano, wills or gift, or shovros or receipts, that's what we had in the Mishnah. The tiki maton of shovrin, rezo lo yaser, do not return those. Shani omer, for I say, suvin hayu, they were written, v'nimlach alein, one who wrote them out, changed his mind. Shalolit nan, to not give them. Ton rabbanu, tiki, what is included in this will, v'lios? This should be, and be validated, established, that if he dies, his assets should go to so-and-so. That's a will. Matana, what is the gift? Anything that is written in it from today and after his death. Alma, laugh me some. If what is written in it is this phraseology, from today until after his death, hu dekani, that will affect a transfer. Ve'lo lokan, but if not, you will not have an acquisition. Hey, hachikam, Abai says this is what is meant to be said. What is considered the gift of a healthy person? Shehi kamana shlimera, that is similar to the gift of one who's on their deathbed. So, that is not acquired other than after death. That's a gift of a matnas bari that has within it written from today until after his death. Then it's going to be parallel. Taimo delo amartnu. And this is all because he didn't say give it. Amartnu knows me. But if he said give it, then you give it to Rashi. Matana manasbari is who he calls shikosabo. What is the gift of someone who is healthy from today and after the death? Gufa kaika konilo. The property itself is acquired to him. Minayom, from today. Shos lemokra. And he has no further capacity to sell it. It's no longer in his domain. Belitna. And to give it as a gift. Lorisha. Or to determine the inheritance. Aperus ena ochel. But the fruits he doesn't consume. He is only given over the guva karka, but the perus, the recipient, beneficiary, will only get all the days that the person is still alive who is given it over, who will only receive the perus after his death. V'lo lokani, and if not, he will not acquire. Bidmiya, this is a question. Kol shekin, all the more so. The im yoiv le guf uperus measha, if he gives over both the real property itself and the fruits of the property from now, the fructus rights from now, the covenant's fake. Certainly, there's a greater acquisition. Stam anashchimera lo kanilo, a default gift of one on his deathbed, will not be acquired. Elach misa, other than after the death. Mechmas misu mitzavet. He's on his deathbed. The whole reason he's giving this over is because he thinks he's dying. But if he gets better miraculously, and now he's looking for his property, he gets it back. So the acquisition doesn't take place until after his death. It's a gift that we say is effective right before his death if the fellow dies. But if he says, give it, you give it. There's a question on the Mishnah. Tetoli taimo bishani omer shtolitan. The Mishnah, we said, why don't you give it back? Because we are suspecting, we say, maybe he never actually gave it. He changed his mind. He wrote up the document to give whatever the document is, including the will, including a gift, but he never actually gave it. So if he says give, we don't have to suspect maybe he changed his mind but never gave it. He said give it. Obviously, he didn't change his mind of this document. Never really gave it, as long as he would say, yes, give it over. It's a valid, legitimate document. You should give it to him. But we have another teaching that is a kasha on that. If you find these things, you find the will, these poskos, Rashi says, she'asul esadeh elu milvad peh, he made a field to be a potei, to be a source of collection for an oral loan, so it's not documented. She'asul of, he had an old debt. So he says, okay, you're concerned. I'm giving you the ability to collect from this particular field. So that document, as like an addendum, is if he admits to it, both parties admit to it. So we have a teaching that says, don't return it to either party. Lo yaser. Shema kosful is that he wrote it but never gave it over. And therefore the recipient never received the property there. And then the owner decided to write this document, write a new document, to give over this property to another person, and he gave it over to him. Well, the second person has acquired the field, and this fellow is a bit of a fickle guy. He wants to renege. He doesn't want the second person to actually get the field. And he wants to give it back to the first guy that he originally wanted to give it to. And therefore, he has, from his perspective, an interest that the finder should give over this document that was never actually given to the first person that he had in mind to give it to, but never gave it over to. Shiotsiana bebezdin. Venimsa, as much as Zed, shall Zed, Star, shall Shani. They both agree, yes. The giver says, this document, it's documenting a gift to the first person that he had in mind to give to, but it was never given to him. He says, give it back. He tells the finder, give it to him. Now that fellow is going to be able to go in court and take out the property that was given to a second guy because the date is predated. So it's ripe for abuse. And this guy has changed his mind. The giver has changed his mind. Doesn't want the second guy to have it. He wants the first guy to have it, even though he never gave it to the first guy. So this concern tells us, lo yachzer lo zalzeh. Don't return this document to either party because it is a possibility that it could be abused. That's seemingly against our mission. Amar Rabbi Abba bar Mamo Lokasha. Rabbi Abba bar Mamo says, there is no challenge. We have a way to resolve this problem. Testament base at the top. Habib Bari, Behab Shrimera. We can differentiate between the cases of Bari and Shrimera, a gift from a healthy person and a gift from somebody on their deathbed. Masnisin Diktoni, the Mishnah that has this teaching. Side note says, Mikan ve'elach ad maskif l'Rav Zvid. So now we're going to take for most of this, a good chunk of this Amud is not actually from the Gemara, but it is Rav Yehudai Gong, Ramban, Ritva, and Barichos Aloshin Mochiach Alov. Certainly the particularly verbose presentation here doesn't sound like the standard Talmud Bavli. So that's another Raya, that this next segment, this next passage is not actually from the Gemara, but from Rav Yehudai Gong. Ha amartznu nosnin. If he said, give it over, we give it. That is the implication. That is by the one who is giving over a gift on his deathbed. Let's see Rashi. So there's a difference. Kederech shekosim b'shtarei matanos matnas shchivinah. So we're differentiating between the bill of a document of gift that does not have the same terminology included in the matnas shchivinah, the gift of the will, the person on his deathbed. That's different, which has the typical phraseology that he's going to be harvested and brought up in his coffin. So it's a little less morose, a standard gift. Okay, so the documentation is a little bit different. By Shchimera, the Gemara says he could change his mind. So in a case of the Mishnah, if he would say Tnu, give it to him, he validates to the finder this will. If he's a Shchimera, so he's allowed to change his mind. So it doesn't matter. Nobody's going to get illegally cut out of their due because the fellow on his deathbed can give it to somebody and then change his mind, give it to somebody else, and it'll work. Rashi, Dvar Mahadahu. Sheyochel La'aser Matanasa. He can renege on his gift. Imkasa Shnei Shtaras Hasheni Zochet. If he wrote two documents, the second one is the one who will actually acquire it. Sheyochel Bo Merisha. He obviously changed his mind from the first gift. So therefore, he says, give it, and he's a shchimera, no problem. Damrinan, ma'ik lemem, because we say, what is there to say? What's the problem? Dilma, kasva, me'ikara. Maybe originally he wrote it for this one, and then he changed his mind. Velo yavin ele. And then he decided not to give it to him. And then he wrote it over to another person, and then he gave it to that second person. Now he's changing his mind from the one that he gave it to. By the time the second giving over, he had already recovered. And he's given it to him. Les lipsedo. We still say there's no problem. The chinafko tarati. Because if both of these documents are brought out in court, the second one will prevail. And the owner of the possessor of the second document will acquire the property. Deha hadabe mikamaisa. Because as a gift that was given initially when he was a shchimera, when he was on his deathbed, he is entitled to change his mind. If he's still in his deathbed, nami, you haven't even give it to the second one. Return this document of the will. Less papseda. There's no risk of somebody being losing what is rightfully theirs. The second one will merit to acquire the property because he's changed his mind from the person he originally wanted to give it to. Braisa. And what is said on the Braisa where we say don't return it to either party, even if they both agree. Lo yase, lo lozev, lo lozev. Even though they both agree, don't return it to either one. Bibari. That's talking about the gift or will given when he's healthy. The la bar mahadu. He cannot change his mind. He cannot whip out a new document, give it to a second person, and say that's overriding the first gift. If it's a manos bari, he can't do that. Damrinan, Dilma Kotzvah Lahamikar. There we say, maybe he wrote it to the first person initially, Ve'imlach, Ve'lo Yavale, and he changed his mind and never actually gave it to him. Then he wrote over this document to the second person should be the beneficiary of his property, Yavale, and he give it to the second person, Ashto Kahadabe, Mahud Yavale. Now he wants to renege, Savra Mahadar, and he said, and he's thinking to return it, Lamatzina Adar. He knows that since he gave it in a state of health, he can't actually renege. I can't back out. But he wants to back out. I will say to them, to the Bezdin, that I actually gave this document that was found to the first guy that it's given over to, even though he never gave it. Because he wants to renege on the second gift, and he knows he can't do that, it's worth it for him. And it will be returned to him, Ksava, this document. Because now the one who has this document that's written first, he's going to be able to be victorious in court. Anan, we say to him, hi, even though the Bari is saying, yes, return it, The Braisa says, do not give it back. Why? We say, this document we're not giving to him. Lie to so-and-so, to this person you say is the correct beneficiary. Dilma Mechta Katabte, maybe you wrote this document, but you never actually gave it to him. And we speculate, maybe you gave another beneficiary this same property, the Kodatabe, and now you're having reservations. You don't really want to give it to the second guy. And if you never gave it to a second person, and this is all just speculative, they don't know a second person, but if it never happened, the Ka boys, this is also high, and you really want to return this document to the person you're saying it belongs to, because you say it's a document that it belongs to him. You really want him to be the beneficiary. So, write brand new a document from now. And give it to him. If there's no second beneficiary, doesn't matter. He's going to be the first, the oldest shtar, the oldest document that he'll win in court. It's only a potential. If there's a second person who was given to that you want to renege on and you're not able to, then there's a risk of giving the predated document. But if you write a new document, you really never gave it to a second person, so you'll get what you wanted. This guy that you want to give the benefit will get it, but it's from today. So that if there's no second person, then there's no problem. If there is a second person, then the rightful beneficiary will get it. And this new document will lose in court. Right from now, another document, and give it to him. If you gave to another person, there will be no loss. They call him Zachi, because his shtar, his document, is predated. And if there's no second person, you'll get what you want. Rav Zvid asks a question on this exposition, why there's no stira between the Mishnah and the Braisa, or Mishnah and Mishnah. Rav Zvid has a kasha. Vaha, Edevedev, Daitikos, Katani. Both teachings include a will of somebody who's on his deathbed. So how can you say one is talking about the gift from his deathbed and one from a gift in health, and differentiate whether you give it back? If the one who's giving it says to give it, how can you differentiate that way? Both are talking about somebody on his deathbed. So you should also give it back without any consideration. The person on his deathbed can't change his mind. Ela Amar Rav Zvid, rather Rav Zvid says another resolution. Both are talking about somebody on his deathbed. That Tikos is on his deathbed. Look, Asha. And it's still not a challenge, not a stira. What is the difference? One is talking about him himself, the guy on his deathbed speaking to us, and one is talking about his son. The son is more limited. Tanu Nosin, that which the Mishnah says or implies. If he says give it, then we would give it. It's only concern, maybe he never gave it. But if he says he gave it, then restore the object, this document, to the beneficiary. Divai Mahadu, that's when we're dealing with the one on his deathbed, he is able to change his mind. We say, even if he gave it to somebody else, there's no loss, no illegal seizure. Nobody's going to be cut out inappropriately. If there are two documents, the earlier one and later one, by the gift of the one on his deathbed, we say he can change his mind. The second one will acquire. He's clearly changed his mind from the first document, and he's entitled to do so on his deathbed. Ikatani bibraisa, and that which is taught in the braisa, that even though they both agree that it should be given to this beneficiary, still don't return it. Bibre, that's talking about by the son. Damrinon dilma kasavavua lahai. That's when the son is saying he concedes that this is correct. Why is that different? Where we say, oh, no, it's the son talking, the father died, now it's the son. So now we say, don't return it. We say, Dilma, because of Vodahat, maybe the father gave this over, wrote this over for the first beneficiary, Ve'imlach, Beluk, Yavaneli, and he changed his mind, and he never actually gave it over. He just had an intention to give it, but never gave it. That's a possibility. There's a Girsa, the Iskerid, it says, in some Kislyad, Demis, it's a little easier to read, Bas Demis, Abu. And after the father died, because of Iu, Leinu Shachrinu, so he, the son, is now the inheritor, wrote a document gifting somebody else, Miyavale, and he gave it, this document to him, the second beneficiary, Behashta Kahadar Bemahu, and now the son is changing his mind, he has second thoughts. Sava Mahadla Matsino, Hadarnu, Hadarnabi, even though I would like to renege, I can't. Emaluhu, I should tell the court, De Abba Yavale, that my father gave it over to him, to this document that was found. Finder says, is this true? The son says, yes, my father gave it over, that beneficiary. Venasule Ksave, and the Venasule Ksave, and it will be returned. Shilokitin, this document, inappropriately, because it was never actually given by the father. And then that document will be used by the first beneficiary, who never was actually given the document by the man on his deathbed. He will use this to go and seize the property from the second person, who was the true recipient. And this is the plot of the son over here we're concerned about. So he's going to go and win. And the son has his change of heart, and he's going to then go and collect with the first guy. He's going to conspire with the first guy who was never actually the recipient of this document and say, here, I told the guy who found that this deed, this document, giving you this asset after my father died, even though he never gave it to you, you go collect from the second guy, and we'll split the asset between ourselves. Therefore, we, the court, will say, this document we're not giving to Lahai, to this fellow, the first one. Maybe the father did write up such a document. He wants to benefit with his property, the first guy, but he never actually gave it to him. And then you gave the son to another person, the same property. And then you had second thoughts. You want to go renege, and you're not able to. And that's why you're saying, give this found document to the first fellow. But rather, if you are telling the truth, that really it does belong to the first guy, that it was given to him by your father, you, the son, should now draw out a new document that this first person is the beneficiary. If there is no second person, then there's no problem. Because if it also is not given by the father, and you did write it out to another person, and this concerned that there was a plot. In such a case, this second document that is being drawn up now is not going to be eligible to make this abuse. Because in this showdown between the earlier dated document and the later drawn up document, the earlier drawn up document will be victorious. And the second fellow that the son actually gave over the property to, his document will precede the document drawn up now in court, and therefore he'll win. So by doing so, the court will avoid any type of abuse.